I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things are picking up. I don't know if some of y'all have noticed, but last week especially, this week I could hear it, but last week especially, the angels that sung with us last week was just amazing. And several of you heard it and have come to me and said, I don't want to sound crazy, but did you hear that? And yes, there's activity that is picking up. There are things happening that God is saying, you know, I'm taking over. Amen. And he doesn't have to take over because we done handed him the reins. I got out of the driver's seat. I said, I do not want to drive this rig. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 11, this is after the feeding of the 4,000. It says, then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. Now, they're saying, give us a sign from heaven. They're ignoring the miracles that are taking place. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. They see all that. So they've upped it. And now they come to Jesus and said, okay, we don't want just a sign. We don't want these miracles. Well, that's not good enough for us. We want Yahweh to confirm you with a sign from heaven. Like a rainbow in the clouds or lightning bolt or, you know. We want God to confirm you and back you up with some kind of sign so that we can believe. But the thing is, they wouldn't have believed if there had been a sign. Because there's times that God spoke out loud and everybody said, what was that, thunder? You know, hear the rumble. Feel the rumble. And after they said this, I mean, Jesus had just, you know, there's this long line of amazing miracles. He just fed 4,000 with, what was it, 7 loaves and, you know, just multiplied it and they ate. But they want a sign. They want something to prove to them that this is God. That they want God somehow to do more than give them a son that is virgin born, full of wisdom at the age of 12, produce miracle after miracle after miracle. John the Baptist said, are you the one or seek we for another? And Jesus said, go back and tell John that, you know, the blind are see, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, the dead are raised. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. And after Jesus heard this, he did something really strange. He sighed deeply. Now, I do that quite a bit. Sister Betty gives me a hard time about it. We'll just be sitting somewhere, and without even realizing it, I will go, ugh. And as I get older, I'm having more of a problem concealing things like that. And I have a tendency to talk out loud when I'm thinking. It's not good. Matter of fact, my granddaughter the other day, I was thinking about something, and she was sitting by me, and she said, Papa, what are you saying? I said, why? She said, you're saying whooshy, whooshy, whooshy. I said, I did not say whooshy. But Jesus, when the Pharisees came to him wanting to argue with him, saying, give us a sign from heaven, he said, there will be no sign given to this generation. And then Jesus did one of these. I told Sister Betty, I said, I read it to her yesterday. And I said, I want you to see that I'm Christ-like. I want you to understand this is anointing. When I go, that is anointed. Now there's a couple things I want us to see about this. I know that Jesus was frustrated with them. He did the same thing when Mary and Martha came to him weeping and saying, if you'd have just been here earlier, our brother would not have died. Jesus sighed deeply. But Sister Claudia sent me something that I actually read. Sorry, I don't always read and listen to stuff that are sent to me because I like to go in the prayer room and get a fresh download. But I did read this. And it said, scholars and rabbis have noted that the letters YHWH represent breathing sounds or aspirated consonants. When pronounced without intervening vowels, it actually sounds like breathing. YH is the inhale, WH is the exhale. So a baby's first cry, his first breath, speaks the name of God. I like that. Now listen. A deep sigh calls his name. Wow. Praise God. See, I've got stuff to back this up. A deep sigh speaks his name. Or a groan or a gasp that is too heavy for mere words. Even an atheist would speak his name, unaware that their very breath is giving constant acknowledgement to God. Hallelujah. Every time you breathe in and exhale, you're saying Yahweh. Isn't it amazing how God created us and intertwined himself in everything that we do? Talked to a few Tuesday nights ago about how God signed the DNA in our body. Amen. Dr. Blumenkamp put me onto that. And it just really stirred my spirit because it speaks the name of God. Every DNA, every cell in our body declares the name of God I'm not going to go into it. You should have been here on that Tuesday. When we breathe, when we inhale and exhale, we are literally declaring Yahweh, the name of God. Have you ever just been tired and go, have you ever done that? Have you ever just been frustrated with your wife or husband and went, or your kids? Next time your partner does that, say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Next time they get frustrated with you, go, just go, oh, yes, glory to God. Thank you, thank you. Because you are declaring the name of Yahweh, you are speaking. And as I was reading that and I was thinking about Jesus here with the Pharisees, I wondered if that was not a deep groan and a cry to God, God have mercy. Because he groaned deeply. I'm not even sure I can do it like he did. It means that it was this like a guttural sound, just And it's almost like he was saying, God, is there any hope for these people? And when he got in the boat with the disciples, he was quiet for a minute. And then he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Herodians. Now the Amplified Bible says that he repeatedly said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians of Herod. And the disciples are much like us. They just saw 4,000 people fed with a few loaves. And they're in the boat, and Jesus starts saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And one of them, with great earthly wisdom, said he's upset because we only brought one loaf of bread. He must be hungry. He must be afraid that we're going to run out and we brought one loaf of bread. Jesus just multiplied enough bread to feed 7,000 people, and here they are sitting in the boat right after that, afraid that Jesus was upset that they only brought one loaf. And Jesus said to them, you have eyes and you can't see, you have ears and you can't hear. How can you not understand that I just multiplied the bread, and here you are feeling like I'm upset because you only have one loaf? I could fill this lake with bread if I wanted to fill this lake with bread. But as I read that, I thought, wow, do we not do the same thing? God will do a great thing, and next thing you know, we're all shook up and anxious. We go from God doing great things in our life to the next thing that comes up, we wonder if he can do this. And all of a sudden, he's not enough. All of a sudden, we're nervous, we're afraid, we're full of anxiety, and we're afraid that we didn't bring enough bread. As if somehow they did it in the first place. They didn't do anything. They just handed out the provision of Jesus that he was creating. It is not our job to somehow make things happen. It is our job to take the creative power of Jesus Christ and hand it out as he makes it available. Amen. We don't do, we are so ridiculous in our thinking. I mean, how many fads have we went through as a society that was governed by advertisement? We are gullible. I was told the other day something that just really irritated me, that these smart billboards actually connect to your phone while you're driving down the road, search your buying history, and advertise things that you might want as you're driving down the road. And then it can even track your phone to see if you make those purchases. I will not buy what's on a billboard just to show them. I'll break them. We went through so many fads that it's unreal. I mean, you know, society, how many years ago was it that all of a sudden we had to go on low-fat diets? Because eggs and bacon were bad for you and that's killing you. So we want all carbs, and so we throw away all of our eggs and bacon and we start eating carbs. And then years later, now we find out that it wasn't the fat in our blood that was causing us to have a heart attack. It was the inflammation from the carbs. The carbs we're eating is causing inflammation in our arteries and causing the cholesterol to stick to the inflammation, and that's what's causing the blockages. Cholesterol could run through your blood all day if there wasn't any inflammation in your arteries and never cause a problem. Matter of fact, you got to have cholesterol to build brain cells. I think we got a problem. And we go through fad after fad after fad. And we're like these disciples. We're like, somehow we've got to present Jesus with another loaf of bread because somehow he can't do this. You know? I mean, they even found out now that fat helps lubricate your joints. Honey, I'm lubricated. Amen. Praise God. Every time I go to the doctor and step on those scales, it's like somebody's spinning the wheel of fortune, man. I mean, them numbers start going crazy, and all of a sudden the thing starts saying, back up, back up. And when I start backing up, it starts beeping, saying something back. Watch out, folks, he's backing up. But we're jerked around. We're told this and we're told that. We got to do this. We got to do that. And you know, coffee will kill you. And then oh no, coffee makes you think better. And you need more coffee. And you got to have some of y'all thinking, man, he's prophesying now. He's prophesying. But we go through all this stuff. I have, you know, I'm all about not doing stuff that we know is bad for us. Like taking untested vaccines. Oh. Did I say that? Pfizer actually admitted the other day that their vaccine had never been tested before they released it. They finally admitted that. They said we were under pressure to get it out there. And so it was never tested on humans before we started giving it out. Amen. I'm going to get off that because next thing you know, we're going to have red, blue things flying around. And I'll get hate mail and everything else. Facebook just blocked me. I know they did. Dangerous person. They called me that one time. Told me I was a dangerous person. Oh, well. But I'm all about that. You know, I believe in taking care of yourself. But I come to the conclusion a few years ago that living's going to kill you. Just the fact that you're living is going to kill you. Amen. You're not going to get out of this thing alive. No. That's why we've got to start investing as a body of Christ. I'm going to try to get serious here. We've got to refocus ourselves as the body of Christ. And as churches, and we got to start asking ourselves, what is it we need to be putting our efforts into in the day that we're living right now? And we haven't been putting our efforts in the right places for years now. You know, there's a lot of people that are just really disgruntled with church, and I don't blame them. We've built these massive things that we got to pay for. And so everything comes about feeding the monster. And that's what ministries become. Ministry, you build it, you got to feed it. okay? And then after a while, it's all about feeding the monster. We've got to get out of that. We've got to quit building things that we have to constantly try to feed. If God can't take care of it, we shouldn't build it. Oh boy, I'm stepping on some toes here. I believe God wants us to get back to what's important in the body of Christ. Amen. This whole week, I don't even know how to do this up, but this whole week, Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about the church needs to be a healing and deliverance center all the time. And I don't even know how to do all this stuff. But I believe we're going to do it. I believe we're going to see it. Because God wants it. If God wants it, then I want it. And if God wants it, He knows how to build it. He knows how to do it. Amen. He's got people that are able to do that. I absolutely understand that you can't get anything done if you don't have the people. You can have all the great outlines and everything, but God is anointing people to step into places that have been empty. There are mantles that have been unoccupied for years now, that God has been busy. Listen to me. God does not mold the mantle to fit you. God takes the time to mold you to fit the mantle. And God has been working on people. He's been working on us. He's been chipping away at us so that he can fit us into the mantles that have been laying dormant and empty for years. But God is resurrecting His mission in the hearts and lives of people, and He's going to start activating that in a way that we've not seen before. I am desperately asking God for intervention in this nation. Now I'm going to have to get to the serious part. But in my office this morning, as I was getting ready to preach this message, I heard the Holy Spirit groaning. And I thought to myself, what? What is He groaning about? And Holy Spirit said, many of the prayers of my people are causing me to groan, because it's all about holding on to your creature comforts instead of having a move of the Spirit of God. I believe today, as Jesus listens to us, and many of our prayers, I believe He goes, because it's not about Him being glorified. It's not about having a revival and a move of the Spirit of God. I don't want to go back to the place that we've been. Amen. I don't want outhouses and stuff like that. I don't want to have to drink out of springs anymore, because the surface water is terrible anymore. I don't want to go back there, but if we have to go back there, we'll go back there. But we are desperate for more than our creature comforts. We are desperate for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are desperate for a move of God. Many of our desires is just simply for somebody to keep the party going. Lord, we don't want to do without. Now, I know I'm preaching. This ain't going to sell no tapes and books. I mean, I realize that. But sometimes God groans at us because our desires are not pure before Him. God is looking for a people that will have a pure heart that begins to say, come, Lord Jesus, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We have people purposely destroying our nation. We know that. This is not an accident. It is purposely planned. They are working to make sure that we have energy shortages. They are working to make sure we have food shortages. They are working to make sure that we are trapped in our own homes and can't do anything so that we become a subservient people. And I would like to see all of it gone. But this is what God has been putting in my spirit the last few weeks in such a way that I get up every morning just shaking, thinking, God, we've got to get going. We're behind. We've got to return to the passion that we were birthed in. I was not born in dead religion. I was born in the fire. Amen. From the time I was born, I was in places where people were being healed, demons were being cast out. Altar calls were full of people being saved and born again, being delivered. Amen. My dad, when he answered an altar call in Brother Allen's meeting in California, I've got a picture. I was watching a video, and I found my mom and dad sitting on the front row in the meeting that Dad gave his life to the Lord in. Sitting right on the front row, and I paused it and took a picture. Just kids sitting on the front row. The meeting that my dad got saved in, gave his life to the Lord in. I got to tell you something. When he got saved, alcohol was gone that night. Tobacco was gone that night. Cussing was gone that night. And a fire was put into his heart and his life. He quit his job. He sold everything he had. And he started traveling with Brother Allen because he wanted to be in the fire. He wanted to see the real thing. He wanted to know God in that way. And God is bringing us back to that. He's bringing us back to a place where there's a call and a cry in our hearts that is saying, oh God, we've got to have your presence. We've got to have your glory. No matter what else happens, we need a move of the Spirit of God. I've been praying lately. And in pastors' prayer meetings, I've been praying this over all the churches. And I've been saying, God, bring us to a place where our altars are never empty. Our baptistries are never dry. Where there's constant prayer and intercession. Where there's constant spirit-led worship. Where people are being healed and delivered. And being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily thing. Every single day, God, bring us back to the place where there is a passion in our heart that says, God, whatever else we have, we need you. We're coming to a place where we're going to have to walk in the miraculous. And I'm afraid we're behind. We're coming to a place where medical help is going to be hard to come by. But the church is still going to be here. We've got to move forward in healings and miracles. We're coming to a place where witchcraft and demon activity has so saturated a generation that we're going to have to get used to casting demons out of people every time we meet. Why? Because they are saturated with demonic power and they have been schooled and taught
in the ways of Satan to the point they've watched so many demonic movies that they are literally saturated with all kinds of uncontrollable desires and things that has to be dealt with and has to be cast out of them. We can't counsel it out of them. We can't talk it out of them. We can't be nice enough to them to get it out of them. It has to be confronted by a power that's greater than the power that has taken control of them.
There has to be an increase in the body of Christ of the function of God. Amen. I really didn't want to preach this message today because I know what it's going to require of us. I know in my own heart, I've been here too many years. I've been through this over and over and over, and God is starting to activate this thing all over again. And he's saying, I'm not done. I'm not finished. And the things that God has spoke to me for 30 years, he's renewing in my spirit and saying, it's time, it's time. And I've said, God, I've tried this time after time over the last 40 years. I've tried this over and over and over, and we've never been able to get it done. But God is putting it back in my heart and saying, it's time to step forward. It's time. It's time. I believe that God is ordaining his work in the body of Christ in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. I got out of bed this morning. As soon as I woke up, I said, oh God, we're not ready. That was the cry in my heart. God, we're not ready. We don't even really know how to seek you like we should. Every time we start seeking God, it ends up circling around and becoming man-centered. I love prayer meetings, but I got to tell you something. I get irritated in some prayer meetings. Because we start seeking God, God starts moving a time where we should go into travail, and next thing you know, it becomes a man-centered meeting. Why? Because it's hard for us to get past ourselves. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm saying we're not ready. But there's coming a time when we're going to meet together in prayer. And next thing you know, we're going to be on the floor travailing with words that cannot be uttered, with groans that are coming out of us, that is coming from the very depths of our soul. Why? Because Yahweh is calling to his people and saying, it's time for you to get beyond yourselves. It's time for you to get beyond your thinking. It's time for you to get beyond your talents. It's time for you to get beyond who you think I am and what you think I do. And it's time for you to get... It's time for you to simply let me be me. I told you it was fixing to get serious. I joked as long as I could. We are in a day where we can't just simply go to church and get blessed. We're in a day where this is turning into a workboat. Come on, somebody. This has turned into a workboat. The visions that God has been giving me, the plans and strategies God's been giving me is so much bigger than this little building and this little church. I don't even know how to do it. I don't know where to do it. I don't know how to get people to do it. I've been saying, oh God, you've got to, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I simply release it to you. No longer will we just gather in church to pacify our conscience of saluting God and saying thank you. But we've come into a day, I don't know
what November 8th is going to be like, I can't tell you. I know that we are not just against an election. We are against a global world entity that has taken control of this nation. And if God works a miracle where we can somehow lessen their power over this country, hallelujah, thank God. But it is on so many levels. But I got to tell you something. This is what God began. What God's been speaking to me is He's been saying, forget about that and become a hot spot for me. Forget about them. And let my glory shine. Right here in the middle of the Ozarks, God wants to establish a Goshen nation where His glory is poured out, where the plagues of Egypt are stopped, and we people can come here and find His presence. Hallelujah. Oh, can you hear what God's saying today? I can't get this preached. I can't hardly speak in English today because the power of God is calling to us and saying, when are we going to come to the place where we call upon God for just Him? Not because of our needs and our fears. Stand with me today. I could preach all day on this. But those that can hear have heard me. Those that can see have seen. There's a call going out today. We can no longer, I put a post on Facebook the other day that the call, the obedience to the call and direction of God is not negotiable. And if we're always counting the cost and of obedience instead of the loss of disobedience, it will always be too expensive. But God is calling. The call of God is starting to go out again through every age group, from the young to the old. There are some of you that thought you was ready to retire, and next thing you know, you're going to be working every day in healing rooms, praying for people. There's some of you think that you're too young, and next thing you know, God's going to activate you like He did me at 19 years old. Hey, but you ought to be a teenager and have God activate you and put something on you that nobody understood and nobody could figure out and wonder why you're such a crazy person. But when you come into the presence of God, when you're touched, when you're touched by His presence, everything changes. Everything changes. We have to say yes or no in the days ahead. Are we going to be what God called us to be? I'm looking for prayer to be going on constantly in homes and in businesses, in churches. God help the prayer come back to churches. We argue about it being put back into schools, and we can't even get most churches to pray. If we're really hungry, we'll show up. Hallelujah. Father, I've just simply delivered your heart today, and I don't even know how to do what you've called us to do. But Father, we're looking to you. Our eyes are on you. And all morning this morning during worship, all morning you constantly told us, let go. Just release it to me. Release it to me. To cast off the burden of fear. To pick up the birthright. Father, I call, Lord, at this house, God, I say yes. I say yes, Lord. We desire you to invade this society, to invade this region. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I do not want Jesus sighing over me like he did the Pharisees. I want him saying yes. That's what I want. God is pulling at hearts here today. And I'm not going to do anything to try to lessen that. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask God to increase it. I'm praying for the drawing and the pulling of the presence of God right now. Father, there are people in this house, Lord God, that refuse to sell their lives out to you. They refuse to commit themselves to you. Father, I pray for a powerful drawing of the presence of God on them right now. Lord, I pray conviction so strong that they shake under the power of conviction. Father, I pray, Lord God, for every lukewarm heart here today, Lord God, to make the decision to let you, the fire of God, come into their lives, Father. Oh God, we call. God, I thank you for calling us. I thank you, God, for calling us. I thank you, God, for putting the call of God on our lives. I thank you, God, for letting us participate with you. Thank you, Father. Oh God, don't sigh over us in frustration. Lord, take the leaven of the Pharisees out of us, God, the leaven of the fake leaven of Herod. In Jesus' name. Oh God. Holy God. We humble ourselves before you today, Father. God, we humble ourselves in your presence. If you feel God pulling at your heart to lay aside your desires and to receive his heart and his mission, his strategies for this day that we're living in, and I just ask you to get out of your seat, come up here, and let's intercede before the Lord for a minute, for a time. Holy God. God, we want to see our nation saved, but not just from bad economics, God. We want to see our nation saved from demonic control. We want to see our younger generation set free from the power of Satan. Lord, we want to see people delivered from a strong delusion that has come upon this nation. Father, we need your manifest presence. We need healing in this house, Lord God. We need healing in the body of Christ. Holy God. Holy Jesus. Oh God. Lord, you knew what was going to happen today, God. The worship team sung songs about surrender today. And Lord, we surrender to you. We surrender to you today. As one song said, we will come holding broken chains over our heads, been set free, victorious. Thank you, Father. Holy Jesus. Hallelujah.